Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to your favorite film podcast, The Average Film Enjoyer. We are your hosts, Trey and Evan. Jagger could not join us this week because of school stuff. So, it's just going to be us two again today, which, yeah, it's going to be good. We got a good episode. We're going to convince Evan that Winter Soldier is a 5-star.
No.
And then we're going to talk Guardians, one of the best-looking Marvel movies. And then we'll talk Top Gun Maverick and Some Like It Hot for our IMDb movies. So that's what we got going on today. We're also going to talk about some movie news, good stuff like that. But before we get into anything, we got a lot coming up. And you guys want to know what we got coming up. So, next week, our Marvel movies will be, did you say it was, what was next week? Age of Ultron and Ant-Man?
I think so.
Let's see. Next week is Age of Ultron and Ant-Man, two extremely underrated Marvel movies. God, I love Ant-Man so much. It's so good. Michael Pena, David Dastmalchian, and T.I. as like his three buddies. Oh my god.
I forgot about T.I. That's crazy.
Comedy gold, dude.
I'm excited to rewatch that, yeah.
Yeah. And Age of Ultron, it's great as well. And then for our IMDb movies next week, we will be doing the Dollars trilogy.
I'm so ready.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be five movies, one episode. That's kind of crazy.
Experience a lot of peak.
It's true. And then the week after, our Marvel movies are my second favorite Marvel movie of all time, and my favorite Marvel villain, Captain America Civil War, and Doctor Strange.
Holy peak.
And then our IMDb movies are Dangal, which is a Bollywood movie, and Downfall.
I was talking to Jonathan about, because he watches a lot of Indian movies.
Isn't he Indian?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And he really likes this one. I was reading the synopsis, and it sounds like a Rocky type thing.
Oh shit!
It's a sports movie. Let me read it. Dangal is an extraordinary true story based on the life of Mahavir Singh and his two daughters, Geeta and Babita. The film traces the inspirational journey of a father who trains his daughters to become world-class wrestlers.
Oh, shit.
3.9 average.
That sounds kind of dope.
Yeah, I'm excited. It sounds fun.
And then the week after that, we got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I'm so ready to rewatch that.
And, dude, Drax is gold in Guardians 2. There's like the whole thing with him and his sensitive nipples where he doesn't want to wear the jetpacks. And when he wears it at the end and shoots up, he goes, "Oh, my nipples!" Oh, it's so funny. And then my second favorite Marvel villain, Spider-Man Homecoming, with Michael Keaton as the Vulture. Let's be honest, Michael Keaton cooked in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I remember really liking it, but there's been a lot of revisionist history on that movie, and I'm curious to see.
Revisionist history? What do you mean?
Some people, like a lot of people, give it like a 5-star.
That's crazy. That's like crazy. It's better than the entire Tobey trilogy. I know. Damn. You don't agree with me that.
I don't know. I haven't seen the Tobey trilogy since I was a kid.
Hey, guess what? It's ass.
Jonathan has it at a 1-star. Tyler from The Real Talk has it at a 1.5.
That's Jagger's insane.
Got it at a 0.5.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Spider-Man? What?
Yeah.
What? Seth's, this movie's great. A
lot of 2-stars. Bunch of. Yeah.
I mean, it's not as good as either of these Amazing Spider-Mans, but it's good.
Damn, Owen's got it at 5-star. Okay, so it's going to be a 5.
No, Cam has got it at a 4.
Yeah,
I have it at a 4.5.
I have it at a 3.5, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
George has it at a 3.5.
Yeah. I like John Watts.
What else has he done?
Just, I like his Spider-Man movies, except No Way Home.
No Way Home is pretty ass, but Far From Home and Homecoming are both very good.
Far From Home, dude. What a banger.
Jakey G, bruh.
And, like, I think it's going to be a little bit, but Lawrence of Arabia is coming up in, like, 5-6 weeks, maybe. And
yeah.
Ian and Ben have been begging me to watch this movie, and I'm like, I'll wait for that, and they're very upset about it. So
yeah. And then also that week for our IMDb movies, we will be doing 1917, which I'm excited to rewatch. I'm going to bring out a lot of technical terms about how cameras work, because I think it was Roger Deakins that did 1917. Yeah. The way that he shot that movie is just insane.
One word, I'm pretty sure.
As he should. And then Taxi Driver, which I think might be my favorite Scorsese.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait, no. The Irishman is my favorite Scorsese.
Damn.
Followed by Goodfellas, followed by Taxi Driver, followed by Cape Fear.
You need to watch Silence, dude.
I know. I need to watch all of his stuff because I'm willing, like, all of his. I need to watch Bringing Out the Dead, man.
Oh yeah, I really want to see that.
We should watch it together. Although we are, Ving Rhames is in Bringing Out the Dead.
Speaking of, we'll get to it. We'll get to it in the watch list.
Dude, when are we watching Dead Reckoning?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my god, I can't wait.
I'm off on Sunday, and Beth's going to girls' night. So.
Oh my god. We'll my dick gets so hard for Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I told you, dude. I'm so ready.
See, Evan, this is why we're best friends, dude.
Yeah.
God.
I fucking love Mission Impossible, dude.
I love you, man. Oh. I
love you, too. It's so much fun. Those movies are so easy to watch.
Yeah, and they're like the stunts, man.
Yeah.
God. Christopher McQuarrie, did you know he has a Letterboxd account? Do you follow him on Letterboxd?
I follow him right now.
Yeah. Dude, he just knows how to direct an action movie. Yeah. That's what we got coming up. It's gonna be a cool couple weeks. Hop on our Letterboxd HQ. Just look up The Average Film Enjoyer. We have our own HQ. You guys can check in over there. And for all our latest stories, they're all done by Evan, who fucking kills it. Weekly shout out to the Film Scoop for making me laugh.
Did you listen to the most recent episode?
Yeah, where they talk about the docking sequence.
Well, they talked about you.
They did? I missed that part.
So Cash was listening to us. Shout out, man. But he was listening to the part of you saying that Cash is the pure and utmost film bro of all time. Cash was
offended?
He was like, I never really thought of myself as a film bro. Have you ever heard that story of Willem Dafoe on the train and he overheard two guys go, no, that's gotta be Willem Dafoe. Nobody looks like that motherfucker.
No.
But Cash said that was like an awakening for him where he looked at his Letterboxd scores and he's like, I've got The Zone of Interest at a half star and fucking...
He's a film bro. And yeah. That's not a bad thing. Like, it doesn't mean you have bad taste in... Somewhere along the way, film bro started having like a negative connotation to it, which I really don't like. Because the more and more I'm in film school, the more and more I realize I am a film bro. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I have other tastes, but like mostly I'm like a film bro, you know? And that's okay. And Cash, that's okay. And like, you know how me and you are always talking about who's better, John Williams or Hans Zimmer?
Yeah.
So I asked he won't listen to this, so I can dog on him a little bit. I asked my teacher who do you think is better, John Williams or Hans Zimmer? And he's like, I think they're both bad. And I was like, what?
What do you mean?
What? And, you know, he just talks about how he really likes, like, the guy who did all the Fellini movies and...
Dude, Mario something. What a goat.
And, like, all this other stuff. And he's like, but yeah, I think Hans Zimmer and John Williams are bad.
What are you watching Fellini at school?
I don't know. But I took real offense to that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hans Zimmer is goated.
Hans Zimmer is goated. But John Williams is more goated.
Goated-er.
Goated-er. Yeah. But Cash, shout out to you, man. I love you. Anytime I see a Nice Guys clip on TikTok, I tag Cash in it. Because it's the greatest comedy of all time. Yeah. What do you have above it?
Tropic Thunder.
Oh, that's fair.
I fucking love Tropic
Thunder. The only other two I have, my top three are The Nice Guys, Wayne's World, and probably Tommy Boy.
Nice. Also, you might want to you might want to turn your mic down a little bit.
Oh shit, for real?
I could hear you. Oh my god.
What?
I could just hear you. Yeah, that's better. I could hear you tapping on the table and stuff very loudly.
Oh shit, sorry.
No, it's good. I think it was just a bit too high.
Or I Love You Man. I love you.
Oh, that's a banger. Yeah. I need to watch that again. I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
See you later, Jobin.
I love Paul Rudd.
Slapping the bass. Slapping the bass. Oh my god, I love that movie.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. All right. Evan. News.
Oh no.
How are you?
I'm good. Tired. Work's been busy. But it's been good, finally, because my manager, who I don't like, is no longer my manager. She got transferred to the produce department, so.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Did you get your coworker bothering you about Den Thieves 2 again?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I went up to him. I said, dude, I watched Den of Thieves 2. It was fucking sick. And he goes, I haven't seen it yet. And I was like, what do you mean you haven't seen it yet? You've been telling me about you. Are you a fake Den of Thieves fan? Like, wow. Crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. Fake Den of Thieves, Dan.
Can't believe it.
Talk about that movie in a little bit.
Yeah.
I finished Station 11.
Oh, shit.
I finished it like a day. Oh, no, I finished the book. Six episodes into the TV show. Book was incredible. TV show is really, really good so far. It's very different from the book. They change a lot of the plot lines, which I'm conflicted about because it's a really good TV show, but I'm, like, super attached to the book. So, yeah. It's really good. I would highly recommend both. But I like the author so much and the way she writes that I started another one of her books, like right after I finished Station 11, and I finished that book in 2 days, and I'm now reading a third book by her.
What's the author's name?
Her name is Emily St. John Mandel.
That's a dude, dope name.
If you're listening to this, shout out. You're a really good fucking writer. Good shit. I read Sea of Tranquility. That was the second one I read. It was really good. Really cool sci-fi story. And now I'm reading The Glass Hotel, which I like, but it's not a sci-fi story. So it's just like a drama, but it's cool. I'm enjoying it. So yeah, I haven't read this much since I was like 12 years old, and it feels good. Feel intellectually stimulated.
Good.
How about you? How are you doing?
Chilling, man. Indiana Jones. Been playing Indiana Jones in the Great Circle. It makes me want to kill myself. The final boss fight shouldn't be as hard as it is, especially since it's not a combat-centered game.
No.
Like, every time there's bad guys around, it's like, okay, cool. I'm not going to fight all these guys. I'm just going to sneak around.
Put it on easy and bonk them with shovels. Killing Nazis.
Dude, that is the craziest thing. That I'll like walk up behind one of them with like a toilet brush.
Yeah.
Just out cold.
That's good stuff.
Yeah,
that final boss is...
Yeah, fighting Voss.
I don't love the final boss, yeah.
But he's a really good villain.
He is, yeah.
And I actually like have been invested. Like, I wish you could log video games like you log movies.
Yeah.
There's, you know, because I'm actually like you know when the Gina, the girl that's with you the whole time, she like finds her sister dead. Spoilies. Yeah. I cried.
Yeah.
Watching that cutscene. I was like, why am I crying? It's a video game.
Yeah. There is an app. It's not an app. There's a website. It doesn't have a mobile app though, unfortunately. It's called Backlogged. But yeah, there's no app for it, so you have to use a website, which is stupid.
But you can like log video games?
Yeah, that's what it's Letterboxd for video games.
Oh, that's sick as fuck. Yeah.
I finished my Dark Souls Platinums, all three of them.
Hell
so
yeah.
I've done every single Platinum for every From Software game that has one, which is feels good. Now I'm in video game purgatory and don't know.
Dude, that's the worst.
It's horrible. Where
you're like, I've played the first hour of like 50 different video games.
Playing Dark Souls 3 because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, Indiana Jones has been fun. My parents have been gone all week. They're like my whole family's in Disney World. And I decided to make the responsible choice and stay home and do school. And I'm really regretting that choice. I was like 2 days after they left, I was like, oh yeah, this is why I don't house sit for people, because I get super depressed.
Yeah.
I'm just like lonely and, you know. Evan, that's why I've been calling you so much. You've because I'm just like,
lot, yeah. I'm sorry, I was at work when, dude.
No, it's fine.
I was around so many peanuts today that I could not touch my phone because I was just like,
What?
No, I'm allergic to nuts.
You are?
Yeah.
So you've never had a PB&J?
No.
Oh my God, I feel so bad for you. It's literally, it's like the greatest food ever.
Mm. What kind of jam?
You know, I really like the Uncrustables, the Smucker's ones with the grape jelly.
Ooh.
But if I'm making one, usually like strawberry, apricot jelly and jams are pretty good. I just like a good jelly and a good jam. But yeah, PB&J are like one of my all-time favorite foods.
Heck yeah.
Because it's the only sandwich you can pack in your lunch and then leave your lunch sitting out somewhere all day and not have to worry about it going bad. You pull it out and it's kind of warm and you're like, cool, this is fine. You know, I'm not eating warm lunch meat. But yeah, you know, I've just been chilling out, hanging out with my dog Dolly. She slept in bed with me last night, which was quite nice. Yeah, you know, just hanging out.
Nice.
Yeah. Movie news. You know what I figured out this week? This was from listening to The Big Picture. Everybody, they're not like paying us to do this. Go listen to The Big Picture. It's an excellent film podcast that is very well informed. They're not as good as us, obviously, but like if you're looking for something different, Big Picture is great. Sean Fennessy is like a dream guest. But do you know what they told me? That one time Mark Wahlberg said, if I was on the 9/11 flight, I didn't know about
you
this.
You never knew about that?
What a fucking psycho, dude.
Crazy.
And other movie news, Mel Gibson has been named Hollywood's ambassador to the president.
Why?
Which is insane.
Absolutely insane.
I don't know what that means.
Me either.
But, and neither does Mel Gibson. Apparently,
like 8 is coming.
Dude, Apparently he didn't know either. Like, they announced it. Oh, really? It was like the first he heard of it. And like his public response was, does it come with a residence? Which was like right after his house burned down in LA.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We got a lot of movies that have come out this month. Wolfman.
Surprisingly good January, considering January is usually our shit.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try and go see Companion this week.
Okay, cool. I know you checked off a few 2025 releases this last week. I mean, you can talk about them once we hit Diary. You did Back in Action and Wolfman.
I didn't watch Back in Action. I watched Den of Thieves.
Who watched Back in Action? That's the new
one. I
want
to watch it, though. Yeah.
That's the new one with Jamie Foxx and...
Cameron Diaz makes her return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who watched... Oh, God. Who was that that watched that? I saw it on, like, my Letterboxd For You page.
I probably will watch it, but...
But, yeah, other movie news. Evan, what do you got for us?
Den of Thieves 3 has been announced already. Insane. Massive W. They're going to turn this shit into a franchise. There's a lot of scandal with the lead actress of Emilia Perez. And it looks like...
Oh, yeah, she's throwing shade at other Oscar movies.
Dude, she defended Hitler on Twitter.
What? Yeah. I didn't see this.
They unearthed a bunch of tweets, and she's going after every single race, religion, minority on the planet. It's crazy. So, I don't know if I can read these on the pod, but, dude, this... I'll tell you this after because I feel weird reading it on a podcast.
Send me a screenshot.
Yeah, I'll send it to you right now. But
is the Hollywood Press, are they going to do anything about it with the Oscars? Or
so that was the thing, is that she deactivated a bunch of social media. I just sent it to you. But they just unfollowed her on everything. And I would not be surprised if they rescinded these nominations.
That's insane.
I know. Yeah. Fucking that's crazy. Insane. There's more too. There's a lot more. So I wouldn't be surprised if they rescinded her Oscar nomination.
You know what? Just for good measure, rescind all of Emilia Perez's Oscar nominations.
For real. Yeah. Replace all of them. Like, get the director out of there. Put Dune in there. Score. Put Queer.
And editing. Challengers.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I feel like they might. And then yeah. I wonder from there if it's they just go with the, like, 4 or 9 nominees. Or if they have, like, a tiered 1 through 10 or whatever, and they just pick 6. Number 6. We'll see. So... that should be interesting. Crazy that she... And she was like, I can't stand by all this misinformation about me recently. Like, what do you mean? Crazy. Fucking nuts. Not a crazy amount of movie news. They're bringing back... I don't know if you saw the Screen 7 castings. But Matthew Lillard is coming back as Stu.
I told you! Wes Craven's dream is coming true. You know that was, like, because Wes Craven died after he made the 4th Scream movie. And that was, like, after the first movie, he said, he's like, I plan to bring Stu Mocker back at some point. Because he's in Scream 2 and Scream 3. Like, uncredited, but he's, like, in the background. Mm. And, you know, when I went and saw... Is the 6th one. This is the 7th one that's coming out. It was when I saw the 6th one in the theater, them going through all the masks you know, with the killer, with Ghostface going through all these different masks. I was like, me and my brother AJ were like, it's got to be Stu. Like, that's got to be the killer. Ah, I'm so excited. But
they're bringing back another Ghostface. Scott Foley is returning as he was the killer in 3.
Was that the one on the campus?
Yeah, no, that was the movie set one.
Oh, shit. Which one did Jamie?
Two, I think.
Two? Oh, man, I loved him. The best one.
Possibly.
That's a hot take. That's a hot take. Either one or four for me.
1, 2, and 4 are the best. They're all good.
And then five and six are pretty good. And then 3 is like, yeah.
If they actually had the balls to kill more characters off, 6 would have been better.
Yeah.
We'll do a Scream Watch like review thing at some point.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I love the Scream movies.
It's one of the most consistently good horror franchises. Yeah,
there's only
one
bad movie.
And it's not even that bad.
One big thing. I don't know if you've played this game. But Simu Liu is working with the right owner, the owners to the rights of Sleeping Dogs to make a Sleeping Dogs movie.
I've never played it.
You should play Sleeping Dogs. Sleeping Dogs is a, you play as an undercover cop who infiltrates the like, Yakuza. Mm. And it's like a Grand Theft Auto open world style game. It's fucking amazing. Sure. But also like the most stacked cast for a video game ever. Let me read some of it. It's so the lead actor, the lead few aren't like big names here, at least. Like they've been in a few things, but like James Hong is in it. Emma Stone is in it. Tom Wilkinson, like just weird big names showing up as small ass roles. Yeah, it's amazing. So I hope that happens because I want a movie. Yeah, nothing crazy for movie news. They delayed Insidious 6. Keep delaying it. Just cancel it.
Who do they have directing that?
I have no idea.
Because let's see. Patrick Wilson again, I'd be interested. I think he did some interesting stuff.
Director attached right now.
Okay.
At least that I can see.
And I didn't think the last one was like the worst, you know? I thought it was fine. It wasn't like, God, that was a waste of time. You know? But they didn't have Lynn Ramsey, is that her name?
Yeah.
Her character is like the best part, and they didn't have her.
Yeah. So.
Also, if I were to say that The Conjuring 2 was better than The Conjuring, how crazy would that be?
I don't think it's ridiculous. They're both like really close to me. I think The Conjuring 1 is a better movie, but 2 is more entertaining and the like setting is really good. It's got some really good scares, like the whole EV thing and dude, that fucking I love both of them. I wouldn't be mad at your statement. That's about it.
Because I think I have The Conjuring at a 5 and then The Conjuring 2, or The Conjuring at a 4.5 and then The Conjuring 2 at a 5.
Let's see. Excuse me. I got the first one at a 5, got the second one at a 4.5. They're right there. Yeah.
Nice. You want to do Diary?
Yeah. Jagger has The Conjuring 2.5 star. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know. Jagger also has Jurassic World Dominion over Jurassic Park. So
true.
Can't trust much that guy says.
What are we going back to? Do you remember?
I'm pulling up my diary.
Is when we recorded last Friday.
Did I talk about Rogue Nation? No, I didn't talk about Rogue Nation.
Okay. Do you want to start?
Sure. Yeah. I got one of your favorites on here as well.
Fuck yeah.
A movie that you have it at a 5. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. This is the fifth one. 5 stars. This is Christopher McQuarrie's first one. Fucking kills it. This is the one with him on the side of the plane. It's dope. The plot is really interesting. Sean Harris as Lane is... Sean Harris is just so good.
Yeah.
And Rebecca Ferguson. You know how you feel about Rachel McAdams?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Rebecca Ferguson.
Fair enough.
She is just a very striking looking woman. Also, where's Rebecca Ferguson's Best Supporting Actress nom at the Oscars for Dune? She is so good.
I don't know. The Dune got fucked at the awards these years.
It really did.
It's crazy.
And then I watched Mission Impossible Fallout, which, my God, this movie is so good. Oh, it's perfect. It's just incredible. I had an absolute blast with it. Me and Evan are watching Dead Reckoning tomorrow, so you can expect a review for that next Friday.
Heck yeah.
So, because it'll be a first watch for the both of us. Yeah. Evan also has not seen it.
I can't believe I haven't watched it.
But yeah, Fallout is fucking peak. Both Marvel movies. Okay, I watched Wicked. And I got a lot of hate for this, not only in the Discord, but also at school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, half star. This movie is genuinely terrible. The colors in this movie compared to The Wizard of Oz look like a Skittle that's been sucked on for too long. Cynthia Erivo gives an okay performance. I don't think she's an amazing singer. Ariana Grande is just the worst. You know, visually it sucked ass. You know, it's just really bad. The music isn't any good. And I'm not a hater of musicals. Like, Evan, you know this. I love musicals.
No. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just a hater of bad movies, and this is a bad movie.
Yeah.
And I truly don't understand how this got a bunch of Oscar nominations. That is insane to me. And the themes it's preaching, which I think is why it got a bunch of Oscar nominations, are super tired and just like, we've heard this, like, don't bully each other. We're all the same inside. Just find something new to say. Come on, people. It's just, God, you're not, there's nothing original about this. This is a remake of a spinoff. Like,
yeah,
this movie could not be more unoriginal if it tried.
Yeah, it's
just awful. Especially, like, I really like John M. Chu's other, like, I love Crazy Rich Asians. I think that's an incredible movie. And, you know, maybe the secret is that Awkwafina wasn't in Wicked. I bet if Awkwafina was in Wicked, I would have liked it.
True.
Are you an Awkwafina
like
lover?
Her. I love her.
Dude, there's so many people out there that hate on her. I love Awkwafina.
I don't love her.
I think she's fucking hilarious.
She's amazing in The Farewell. And good in Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Let me get this straight. Your name was Shang, and you changed it to Sean? That whole... Do you That's not remember stuff. That?
No. No, I remember it, yeah.
So, yeah, Wicked was just terrible. Easily my least favorite of the year, but we will see how that goes after I watch Emilia Perez. Which at this point I don't even know if I'm gonna watch it. This is just such a disappointing year for the, like, last year was like god tier.
Yeah,
you know,
just wait till you watch The Brutalist, then everything will be okay.
Yeah, maybe. And then I watched The Empty Man.
Fuck yeah.
Did you see that I watched this?
I did, but I forgot that you did.
Dude,
the first 20 minutes of The Empty Man are like some of the best horror in modern time.
The cinematography in this and the editing is incredible. There are so many creative choices made here that I think work so well. The transition where he's looking on the map to the bird's eye view of the forest, but like they in post, they added like the signs in the trees, like outlined in the tree. That was really cool. I love seeing James Badge Dale. He's from The Departed, World War Z, Iron Man 3, Flight. You know, he's always a super small role, but he's super charismatic. This was, if the Bye Bye Man was actually good.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Like, the Bye Bye Man, like, that's a really cool idea. That movie was just so awful.
Yeah.
This the is like, man. But the Pee Pee Poo Poo Man.
Dude, so I want to keep it spoiler-free because I feel like not a lot of people have seen it. Do you like the ending and where it goes?
I do. I thought that was super cool.
Yeah, really
and
cool.
I didn't see it coming.
Me either.
Dude,
the camp scene had me so on edge and scared. Fucking
where they like where he would take a step back and then they'd take a step forward.
Dude.
And he's like, yeah, fuck this.
Yeah. Dude, it's so good.
Yeah,
it's
James really Badgell is just, he's excellent in this. He does a really good job.
That movie's fucking scary.
Yeah, super good. I really, really enjoyed this. I actually was watching it at home, and I had to turn it off because I was like, man, watching movies when you're home alone in a huge empty house is a lot different when there's people home than when there's people home. But I loved this. Everybody, go check this out. It is currently... Oh, I pirated it because I was... I don't know. Allegedly. I don't know who logged this, who I saw that logged this, but someone did. And then I read the synopsis and I was like, oh shit, I want to watch that right now.
I've been trying to convince like Cash and Alan to watch it.
Dude, Cash would eat that shit up.
It's so good, man. I watched this because Chris Stuckman put a video out about it, and it was like back when he was actively reviewing movies and he would put out
Chris Stuckman.
Do you know the old YouTube movie critic? Do you never watch him? Oh shit. Okay. Well, that's crazy. But he was a big movie reviewer, and then he made his own movie, and so he stopped reviewing stuff, but every like time a movie came out that he fucking adored, he would put out a video on it, and I was like, okay, I have to go see this movie.
Yeah, so I watched. It's excellent.
This movie bangs.
Yeah,
they should have the
it
first.
It combines like ghost movies with cults. It's really cool.
Yeah, I wish they had the first like 20 minutes, like the intro, as a short film, because it is so effective and creepy. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Empty Man. It really cleansed the palate after Wicked.
Yeah.
I watched this like directly after Wicked.
Oh, shit.
Like, oh, we're so back. Because sometimes if I watch too many bad movies in a row, then my love of like my faith in movies gets diminished where I'm like, maybe I just won't ever watch a movie again. And then I watch something good and I'm like, God, we're so back. and then in French class, French film, we watched The Battle of Algiers.
Nice.
Which I don't know if you've seen this. We reviewed it on the pod a long time ago. Have you seen
I
this,
haven't,
Evan?
No, but I want to because it's on the top 250.
Yeah, it's really excellent. Really, really excellent. A lot of cool set pieces and practical effects that I really enjoyed.
Nice.
Rewatched my favorite horror film from the year 2023, The Pope's Exorcist.
Yeah.
Just a truly mass... Actually, no. Late Night with the Devil might be over it. God, no. 2023. What a great fucking year.
Yeah.
You
need to watch Smile 2, dude.
I have watched Smile 2.
Oh, you
I
did?
Told you. I bought it.
Oh, shit. Yes, I remember now.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about...
It was like only like $8 more to buy it, and I'm like, I'm going to love this. Yeah, dude. Smile 2, it's peak.
We were talking about the Empty Man thing where it's like he takes a step back and they take a step forward. I was thinking of the closet scene.
Dude, and all the dancers.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What a fucking banger that.
Dude, there's some creepy ass scenes in that movie.
I love that movie. That's a 5-star horror movie for me.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, The Pope's Exorcist, guess what? It's still excellent. Yeah. Crazy ass true story. I wish they would make more of these because it, like, at the end, it kind of sets it up for them to, like, make more. Because they're like, here are all the sites of the fallen angels. And Father Thomas is like, let's go to work. And then Father Amorth is like, let's go to hell. And then the credits roll. And I was like, damn, we should get more sequels of this. Because Russell Crowe is just excellent here. It's just an excellent horror movie. What do you have this at? Is this...
probably a 5.
4. You have it at a 4.
4. Too low. I gotta raise that.
Yeah, man. Come on. Step it up, Evan. Hereditary. It's still peak. I think that's my 8th time watching it. Nice. It's still a perfect horror movie. Geostorm. It's not as good as Moonfall, but it is just as bad.
Trey says, have you seen Moonfall? I said, yeah. He's like, should I watch it? I said, yes. He's like, well, is it good or like bad good? I said, it's more Moonfall. You're like, I'm going to watch it immediately.
Yeah, dude. Because Roland Emmerich cooked on Moonfall. Man,
yeah.
Geostorm was excellent. It's so bad.
Trashy.
It's so bad. But yeah, that's all I got for Diary. Why don't you go?
Heck yeah. I watched a James Mangold banger. Night and day. Yeah. I really loved it. I saw it in theaters as a kid with Chad Grandma.
When I was
10 years old. Banger. I enjoyed it. I didn't love it as much as I used to. There's like a 20-minute sequence in this movie where Cameron Diaz just keeps getting drugged. It's very odd.
What the hell?
Yeah. It's fun though. And Tom Cruise, there's this fucking scene where Tom Cruise plays this CIA spy and he's on the run because he's been framed for stealing and killing a bunch of, like, stealing this thing. It's like an infinite battery and killing a bunch of people. And Cameron Diaz, like, gets wound up in this whole plot. She keeps trying to get away from him, but he goes to this diner where she's eating lunch and he holds up the diner with a gun and he's like, okay, everybody hands up, pancakes for everybody, no ice cream a la mode. If anyone follows me, I kill her. If anyone follows me, I kill myself and then her. And then he walks away. It's really funny. And there's some great stunts. Like, he's super funny in it. It's worth watching. After that, I watched The Brutalist, and let me tell you, watching this bad boy in IMAX, what a treat. I thought it was fucking phenomenal. I loved it. 5 stars. Number 2 or 3 of the year. It's just epic and massive. It's such a grand movie, and like, there's some shots in the first 20 minutes of this movie up until the like opening credits hit are just crack, dude. The fucking score is nuts. There's shots of buildings that have me getting emotional. The pacing is elite. It goes by so quick. I think the first half is like just insanely entertaining and it's so, so good. The second half takes quite the turn. When you watch it, we'll talk about it, because I don't want to get into spoilers. Yeah, very different tonally, like tone-wise, first and second half. But I thought it was fucking incredible. Adrian Brody, give him the Oscar. Guy Pearce, he was so good. Like, I would be happy if him or Kieran Culkin won. Both of them are just fucking amazing. And then Felicity Jones was really good too. She's not even in the first half.
Oh shit.
But she's really good. I thought it was spectacular. Yeah, we'll talk about it more once you see it, because there's a lot of debate about where the second half of the movie goes. So we'll see if you like it. Then I watched Passage of Venus, a short film from 1874.
Oh yeah. Oh, I did see that you logged this.
Yeah, had to watch it. It was pretty cool. 6 seconds long. Somebody logged it, so I was like, all right, sure. And then after that, I watched Nickel Boys.
Hell yeah.
And another absolute heater. This, it's a coming-of-age movie that is filmed entirely in the first person. And for some people, it really works. For some people, it doesn't. I loved it, though. It was very effective. A lot of people were saying because it's in first person, you can't really connect with the character as much. It was kind of the opposite for me, where the movie forces you to like just connect with the environment and the secondary characters. And it just enhanced everything for me. It made me feel like how I feel when I watch Waves, which is my favorite coming of age movie. It's not as devastating as that one, or
yeah, that movie's depressing.
Yeah, it's not as intense as that movie, and it's not like as emotionally impactful, but it put me in that same like vibe as that movie does. So I would highly recommend it. I loved it. After that, absolute heater. Watch Miss Congeniality. Fucking bang. I've seen it before, but yeah, it's such an entertaining time. Michael Caine is so funny in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good. If you haven't
have
seen
you, it, you have you it. Seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
No.
Oh man. Bailey.
Yeah.
I've told you about Bailey. She showed me that movie. It's nice. Fucking excellent. And Michael Caine. It's Michael Caine and Steve Martin.
Oh shit.
It's really good. Fun.
Michael Caine plays the like makeup and wardrobe guy, because this movie is about a CIA agent that they get to go undercover into a like Miss Universe or Miss America pageant thing.
Yeah,
and he's like the stylist that gives her the makeover. It's very funny. Yeah, 4 stars. And then I watched September 5. I thought it was very okay. It's like what you expect it to be is exactly what it is. It's single location thriller, quick cuts and stuff like that. Yeah, it was all right. After that, I watched Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Banger. It's very entertaining. And dude, Gerard Butler's just having too much fun. And the needle drop to close out the movie had me fucking levitating. It's so good. It wasn't as like action packed as I was expecting, but there's some really cool sequences and like little gadgets and shit like that. Yeah, it was really fun. Watched some podcasts, Guardians and Cap. After that, watched Wolfman, hated it. 1 star. Fucking boring. So boring. And then after that, I watched The Celebration, which is from 1998, and it's a Thomas Vinterberg movie. I don't know if it's like, I don't know when it came, like came in his filmography. Let's see. Oh. So it's pretty early on, like his second or third feature, I think. But this movie is fucking nuts. It's about a large family, very wealthy father, grandpa, whatever, like the head of the family. And it's his 60th birthday party. And so everyone's meeting up and you get some, you know, little introductions, and it's off to the fucking races because things go haywire very, very quickly. And I don't want to say anything about the plot wise, but it's very uncomfortable and disturbing and cringy and anxiety inducing. It's it's horrid. Like, it's like an Uncut Gems feeling where you're just like scared to even watch the next scene. I thought it was excellent. It's, I was telling you a little bit about this, but the movie started and it said, I don't know how to pronounce it, Dogme, D-O-G-M-E 95, presents the celebration. And so I was like, I wonder what that is. That's kind of weird. So I was Googling it once I finished the movie, and it's a vow of chastity that Thomas Vinterberg and Lars von Trier put together to combat the rise of like special effects and shit like that, because they were like, it's not real filmmaking or something along those lines. But there's 10 rules to this movie, and you have to follow them. Number one, shooting must be done on location. Props and sets must not be brought in. If a particular prop is necessary for the story, a location where a location must be chosen, Jesus, where this prop is found. Number two, sound must never be produced apart from the images or vice versa. Music is not to be used unless it occurs where the scene is being shot. So no music in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the camera has to be handheld. Any movement or immobility attainable in the hand is permitted. Number four, the film must be in color. Special lighting is not acceptable. If there is too little light for exposure, the scene must be cut or a single lamp attached to the camera. Number five, optical work and filters are forbidden. Number six, the film must not contain superficial action. Murders, weapons, etc. must not occur. Number seven, temporal and geographical alienation are forbidden. That is to say that the film takes place here and now. Number eight, genre movies are not acceptable. Number nine, the film format must be Academy 35mm. Number 10, the director cannot be credited.
What is this?
This is a strict set of rules that Lars von Trier and Nicholas Winding Refn, or sorry, not Nicholas Winding Refn, Thomas Vinterberg created the vows of chastity. And it's like they were trying to create traditional films. So this is like a thing they did for 10 years, 1995 to 2005. And all their movies are like this. So I was on Wikipedia and it's like, there's like not a lot of huge use of this, but pretty interesting that they did this.
Mm-hmm. And it's the celebration part of that?
Yeah, it is. So there's no director attached to the movie. They do the actors, but like it's very Lars von Trier style. Like it makes a lot of sense where it's this fucking right in your face handheld thing. Very over the top and intense. I said it's like a fly on the wall situation, but also you're like thrust into it because the camera is so close to everything. It's really cool. So I might have to check out some more of those movies because I like them. Watch this one. It's a really good movie. Four and a half for that one. After that, Cash recommended that I watch Balloonerism, which is a short film attached to Mac Miller's new posthumous album.
And this was this your first time listening to Mac?
No, well, I've heard his songs. I haven't like listened to any of his albums front to back, but he was like, dude, you need to check this out. You really like it. And I really liked it. Visuals.
Mac is so good.
Yeah. The music was great. There's this one song, Funny Pages, I think it's called. Amazing, dude. It was such a fucking good song, but the visuals in this thing are crazy. It's about a bunch of little kids that get turned into mice, and they're like on this piano and it's just fucking trippy as shit. No dialogue, just 25 minutes of songs from the album. Yeah, really, really cool. It's like, it's on Prime, so you guys should watch it. Really, really cool. I want to listen to the rest of the album because,
dude, Mac Miller's the GOAT, man. Have you ever listened to Swimming from Top to Bottom?
No, but I want to.
That's my favorite one, dude. That song, that album, yeah. That whole album, no skips.
Okay, I'll listen to it. Maybe at work tomorrow. Let's see. I only have one song from that album. What's the Use? That's a good song.
That's a good song.
Yeah, Ballinarism was sick. After that, I watched Night Shift. My coworker recommended this to me. This is a very, like, you would watch this movie because you randomly found it on Shudder. It's a haunted house / psycho style horror movie set at a hotel. It was fine. There's a really weird plot. Like, the plot twist is it's kind of predictable, but it also, like, makes for some entertaining scenes towards the end. It was all right. Lamorne Morris Winston from New Girl's in it, and he is dripped the fuck out. Yeah, it was all right. Alan found a short film on Letterboxd that you can lock called Burning the Emilio Perez Poster. So I watched that. Hell it yeah. Has. Yeah, so I watched that. It's 5 minutes long. And then I watched Top Gun and Some Like It Hot. And then last night I watched Bridget Jones' Diary for the first time. And I liked it. It was fun. Hugh Grant's a fucking menace in it. Yeah. Absolute.
I just don't watch it. I can't stand Renee Zellweger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This whole thing?
Yeah.
It really gets on my nerves.
That's funny.
I just think she's super annoying. That's my Renee Zellweger impression.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Yeah, it was fun. There's a new one coming out. Maybe I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Three and a half. I had a good time.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I've just been watching Station 11. I'm almost done it. It's pretty peak.
I'm in the middle of a rewatch of 30 Rock right now.
Nice. I've only seen like one season of that. I need to get to it.
It's excellent. Tracy Morgan, man.
Yeah.
What a comedian.
My family went and saw him live, but I wasn't 18, so I couldn't go.
Was it before or after his car accident? It was after
the crash, and he made a joke about the crash. And he was like, I might get some of this wrong, but the joke was something like, people always ask me, do I still shop at Walmart? Because he got hit by a Walmart truck, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, some people might think it's wrong. I shouldn't shop there anymore. And he goes, fuck no, I still shop at that Walmart. Can't beat those prices. Love Tracy Morgan.
He hasn't been the same since that crash. Like, no. He's not as funny as he used to be.
No.
It messed up his brain or something. Like,
it probably
prime,
did.
Prime SNL Tracy Morgan. Just, oh, God. I'm Brian Fellows. You ever watch those Brian Fellows?
No.
No? Oh, man. Just check out Brian Fellows. All right. IMDb movies. Top Gun Maverick. Joseph Kaczynski. Try not to jerk off challenge.
Yeah.
God.
For real.
There is one thing I hate about this movie.
I was going to ask you. Do you want to talk about it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
The scene.
Do your rant.
The scene where where Miles Teller is playing Great Balls of Fire is genuinely one of the worst things I've ever seen. It's so god-awful, and it's so forced. It doesn't hit emotionally like it should. It's just, God, it's so bad. It's so bad. I hate it so much. The rest of the movie is super good, and the emotional beats hit really well. But that just makes me want to die. That's my rant.
I haven't seen the first Top Gun, so... It's an entertaining scene for me. But yeah, it's super forced and, like, cheesy.
Yeah.
I can't do it. There's a line that made me cry, which I don't normally cry watching this movie, but Tom Cruise, I don't know what it was, but he goes, "I was trying to be the father that he lost." And I was like, "Oh, fuck."
Yeah.
Dude, the opening.
Dude, you gotta watch Top Gun.
I know.
Oh my god.
The entire Mach 10 scene is just so fucking electric. There's this shot that's just a pan down of the earth and you see the clouds swirling. It is utter bliss, dude. It's so fucking sick. And then, dude, just the pacing, this movie rips through. They like speed run to the big event and then it's just training, and every training scene hits.
Yeah, the first one where they're all fighting him.
And man, I don't see him on the radar. He must be somewhere behind us. And this flies right between them. Oh my god!
Yeah,
I fucking loved it.
And with using "Won't Get Fooled Again" by The Who. Oh my god, yeah. Dude! And is it just me, or is Glenn Powell yet again the coolest motherfucker on the planet in this movie?
He's so awesome,
dude. You know. If I had, you know what I would do to get just be Glenn Powell?
Yeah.
I would stick this massive Bluetooth speaker all the way up my ass. That is what I would
do. Audio listeners, it's pretty big.
I can't even get like my whole hand around
it. Yeah.
I would stick that up my ass.
Yeah, for real. That's not ridiculous.
He's so good.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question, and I haven't seen the original. What is it? Is it volleyball they play in the original?
Yeah.
Is the volleyball scene or the football scene better?
Oh, the volleyball scene, because it's so fucking gay. It's crazy. The original is like, you know, the term like homosexual, like the original is like the most homosexual movie. Like, damn. It's just bros being gay with each other. It's awesome.
Yeah. Nice. I still, like, don't... I think that there is issues with this movie. Like, there's this moment at the end when, after, like, Tom Cruise goes down and they have, like, a little... And Miles Teller comes to save them. They have this little, like, punching match and it's like... Why'd you start? Like, I was trying to save you. And he's like, "Oh, I'm trying to save you." I'm like, okay. Like, I don't need the
corny
guy. I like
that. I think it's funny.
I love watching Tom Cruise do the run, but in the snow with full fighter jet gear on.
Yeah.
It looks really funny.
Yeah.
The whole dogfight right at the end before Hangman saves him is so intense, bro. I fucking love that shit where... There'll be the two planes chasing each other, and then the one will like go 90 degrees vertical and drop behind them.
Yeah.
I love that shit, bro.
Yeah. And what a perfect use of the F-bomb. Their one F-bomb in this, where the plane does like the weird like twisting motion, and Miles Teller goes, "The fuck was that?"
Yeah. Dude. And it's all real, so, like, it just looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best-looking action movies for, like, action scene-wise.
Yeah, for sure.
And even though most of the dogfighting is just training, it's still intense.
I mean,
in the stakes
that's how it is in the first one.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, and then you gotta watch Top Gun.
Maybe I'll try and squeeze it in tomorrow. Or Sunday. I love watching the, like, when Tom Cruise does the test run and it's like 2.6 or whatever minutes, and there's shots of the fucking plane flying like this close to the ground. It's crazy. You just like don't believe it. Like, this can't be real, but it is. Even if he's not flying it, I don't care. The planes are real, and it's like, this is just cool.
Yeah, it's just cool guy shit.
Every time I see people, like, these people in a plane, I'm like, oh my god. Yeah. It's the lock-in thing where you're, like, leaning back and you do the... Yeah.
Yeah, for real, dude. This movie makes me want to join the Air Force.
Yeah. I used to have this at a 3.5, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I got dragged to it when I didn't want to see it, and I think that's probably why. And I used to have, like, I had a horrible theater experience when I saw this movie. This lady answered her phone and had conversations twice, and she was sitting directly behind me.
Why didn't you tell her to shut up?
Because I was just, I don't know, I was in a
bitch, please.
And also, like, I didn't want to be in the theater because COVID was popping off in my city, and I was like, I just want to be home. I just want to be at home, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I didn't see Batman in the theaters.
Yeah.
But
you still need to watch your 4K.
I know. Yeah. But coming back to it and just enjoying it, and like, the romance goes by really quick. That character's in the first one, right?
Who? Jennifer Connelly's character? Yeah. No.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh,
what's her face is in the original. Oh, God. What's her name? She's just mentioned. And Penny is just mentioned in the original.
I thought they recast her as Jennifer Connelly.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a different character in the original. Kelly McGillis.
Yeah.
Is the love interest in the original. But, dude, Jennifer Connelly, is she like a vampire or something? It doesn't seem like she ages. Holy shit, they're doing a Top Gun 3?
Oh, are they?
It's on Letterboxd. But yeah, Top Gun Maverick is just an excellent action.
Yeah.
And Monica Barbaro.
Oh, yeah. W.
As Phoenix.
Yeah.
She is also a great actress.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
Beth got faked out by a fake trailer.
Oh, she got duped? The old Trey Arzy? Yeah. What, for what movie?
Iron Man 4.
Oh!
It popped up on Google News for her phone or some shit, and then it was like a fan-made trailer, and Katherine Langford was in it, and it was like, yeah.
Dude, that's a classic. Now, every time that I see a trailer on TikTok, I go and double-check it on the internet.
Yeah.
Because I almost got duped by a Fantastic Four trailer the other day. And then I looked it up and I was like, this isn't real.
Next week.
Okay, got it.
Next week, we'll see one.
Oh, shit, for real?
Probably.
Dude, how is it that Jennifer... How old is Jennifer Connelly?
Dude, Taylor Swift's about to take home another Super Bowl. That's crazy.
Yeah. What a boring Super Bowl this year. Jennifer Connelly is 54. That's insane.
Yeah.
She looks so good. That's so... What? She's married to Paul Bettany?
Damn.
How did Paul Bettany... How did that nerd pull Jennifer Connelly?
Whoa. Paul Bettany in... I'm thinking of him in a role. I can't think of it right now, though.
A Beautiful Mind.
He does look good in Beautiful Mind.
Yeah. Or is it Margin Call? Or the Da Vinci Code?
It's definitely not the Da Vinci Code. he scared me so much as a kid in Da Vinci Code. When he's got that big chain wrapped around his legs with the spike in it. Oh,
I've never seen it.
You haven't?
I've never seen the Da Vinci Code.
Dude, you know they're like national treasure movies.
Yeah, I know.
They're such bangers.
Yeah. Some Like It Hot.
This was... I didn't see what you gave this.
Oh, I gave it a 5.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, this was a first watch for me. I had never seen Some Like It Hot. Just excellent. I really, really loved this and had a great time with it.
It's hysterical.
Yeah. Well, Nobody's Perfect.
Yeah.
Is just a classic. Who knew that Marilyn Monroe was hot? That's crazy. You know, she is something else, man. She is really, really good in this movie. Jack Lemmon is excellent in this movie.
Shout out to Joe E. Brown, who plays Osgood Fielding. That dude is so fucking funny in this movie.
Is he the one that's like gonna marry Jack Lemmon's character? He's the one who says
nobody's perfect, yeah.
Yeah, dude, he's so good.
He's so funny.
And I can't remember who the guy who plays the other dude is, not Jack Lemmon's character.
Tony Curtis,
he's really good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just really enjoyed this. It's just a good time. Honestly, super progressive for its time. Like, talking about how, like, Jack Lemmon's whole thing where he's like, I'm going to marry him after, like, the date. And Tony Curtis is like, well, you can't do that. And Jack Lemmon's is like, well, why not? You know? Like, yeah. That's, like, crazy for a movie from the 50s to talk about gay marriage and...
I've got big news. What happened? I'm engaged. Who's the lucky girl?
I am. Just crazy, man. And talking about, like, trans rights and, you know, it's just super cool.
We got this, you know? And then we got Dog Day Afternoon. Very progressive.
Yeah, dude. Dog Day... All these film bros talking about Dog Day Afternoon, and then you're like, well, you know, it's a movie about a guy robbing a bank to get his girlfriend's transition surgery. You know?
Based,
dude.
Woke peak.
For real.
It's good stuff. I was rewatching some clips from it, and I don't know why, but there's a line with Osgood. This guy's my goat. I don't know. Something about his face is just funny looking.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm Osgood Fielding the third. And Daphne goes, and I'm Cinderella the second. And I don't know why, but that line just makes me laugh.
Yeah, dude. It's like the 1950s. Like, well, you see, I'm Osgood the third. See, you know,
the train, dude, the scene when they're on the train and he's trying to like, just have a quiet time. Little fun time with Marilyn Monroe, and then the entire train turns into a party, and he's so pissed off. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really good. I don't have too much else to say.
Yeah, we'll probably have more Billy Wilder coming up. Billy Wilder's dialogue is just so entertaining. Like,
yeah,
can have such a simple movie, but the way his movies are written, and I don't. He like co-wrote them, I'm pretty sure. A bunch of them. I don't know about this one. He might have just wrote this one himself, but his dialogue is so fast paced and it just keeps you so fucking locked in. Like Double Indemnity is my favorite Billy Wilder, and it's a like kill my husband for the insurance money type movie, and it is just, it's such a blast. And yeah, I can't wait to talk about more of his thrillers and noir stuff. I'm sure we'll talk about Sunset Boulevard at some point. Witness for the Prosecution, which this is gonna be like one of your favorite movies of all time, Trey, when we watch it. It's peak. It's the like absolute utmost. Punch you into my she.
Oh movie. Yeah,
it's so good. It's fucking hilarious too. The main character is this super fat guy, and he's like on all these medicines and stuff, and he's got a nurse that keeps trying to steal his cigars and booze, and he's like sneaking them. Oh, it's so good. We love Billy Wilder. Yeah, 5 stars for me. It's my least favorite Billy Wilder, but that's saying something because all the movies I've seen by him are 5 stars. Yeah, so
that's wild.
Awesome movie. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I'm really glad you liked it. Do you want to start with Guardians or Cap?
Let's start with Winter Soldier. Okay. And then we can end on one we both agree on.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier. This is my number one Marvel movie.
It's crazy.
Easily. This movie is incredible. You know, the crazy thing is that all these characters that we've seen so far are at least 40 years old in the Marvel Universe. Like, they have been, like, these characters have been around. Look, Captain America was created in the 30s. Iron Man was created in the 60s. The Hulk was created in the 50s. You know, all these characters are really, really old. The Winter Soldier wasn't created till like the early 2010s. I don't know if you know this.
I did not.
It's like late 2000s, early 2010s. You should read The Run, the comic book Run. Mm-hmm. It's truly excellent. It's by a guy named Ed Brubaker, who did this whole Captain America run that went from like the Winter Soldier into the death of Captain America. And it's really, really good. But he created the Winter Soldier. And throughout the entire Marvel Universe, this movie is the most faithful to its comic book run. Which is one reason I really like it, because I love this comic book run. another reason, Winter Soldier is a dope-ass character. Yeah. Bucky is a pretty good character. Winter Soldier. You know what I don't understand is why, when they like took all the Winter Soldier programming out of Bucky's head, why did they take it out? Reprogram him. And when you need, because if you're comparing like the fighting ability of Bucky to the fighting ability of the Winter Soldier takes it every time.
Yeah.
He's literally a killing machine.
Yeah.
Like, he is made to find the most efficient way to kill someone.
Yeah.
And like, imagine like the Winter Soldier fighting in like the Battle of Wakanda in Infinity War. You know, yeah. I really love this movie. I'm a big sucker for daytime action, and most of the action sequences in this movie are during the day. Forces the directors to make their hand-to-hand combat look better. And I think the hand-to-hand combat looks great in this film. I know Evan's going to disagree. I think the fight between the first like hand-to-hand fight between Buck and Steve is really sick.
Yeah.
I think that the sequence where Sam L. Jackson is like getting chased down in his car,
I was just about to say
that sequence is awesome.
It's fucking sick, dude. They're like window integrity at 19%, and he's like, he's like just waiting to use the weapons.
Yeah, dude.
Last minute, I love the like. What does work? Air conditioning. Fully functional.
Yeah.
I love the fake out death too. Like it works.
Yeah. And I think that the elevator sequence is like top five Marvel fight scenes. Yeah,
it's fun.
And where they're like, there's nowhere to run, Cap. And he jumps out the window. But Evan, you also got to take into account, Captain America has been and always will be my favorite superhero.
Yeah.
And this is like prime Captain America. Just at his best, fighting for freedom, you know, taking down the powers that be. And all of you people who are like, Captain America would have voted for Donald Trump, you're fucking stupid. You are so dumb. Captain America fights for the freedoms of everyone. And God, and the whole, like, final thing with Bucky beating the shit out of him, and he's like, I'm with you till the end of the line, pal.
Yeah.
It always makes me cry. I love Sam's character and the introduction of him. I think Robert Redford is super solid in this movie.
Yeah.
We love some Frank Grillo.
Yes. Always.
I just think, yes, this movie does have its problems. The color palette of Russo Brothers movies ain't lack great thereof. Lack thereof of a color palette, it ain't great, but I think that there is a lot to love here, and I think that the thing, and I'm not saying this is a perfect movie, I have this at a 5, you know? But I'm saying that the stuff that is good far outweighs the stuff that is bad.
I agree with you.
Then why do you have this at a fucking 3.5?
Because
that's
the camera
so
work is
low.
Shit.
That's not true. The camera work is so good.
The fights look good, but you can't even see what's going on at certain times. It's just like there's too much. Just dial it back in. The noir and like spy thriller shit is awesome.
Yeah,
I love the sequence when they're in the underground thing and it's like, what have you been doing? He's like, I'm stalling you and shit like that. That's a great sequence.
Yeah.
I like seeing Steve Rogers just in a t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a normal dude.
In a t-shirt like, that's way too tight.
Yeah. When it's just the head up, I'm like, damn. And then they show his whole body. I'm like, fucking, I hate myself. I'm sitting there with my bag of Tostitos watching this shit. It's like, damn.
You're like eating chips and salsa. Like
chips and queso, dude. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the car scene is a fucking sick. It is so awesome. And Sam Jackson's just cool as hell. I love the fake out death. It like adds to the mystery. And it's like,
yeah,
there's a lot going on. I should raise it to a 4. It's just like, I was really enjoying it. But then the action at the end is like pretty not great.
I disagree, but
I love the fucking Falcon flight scene. That stuff looks amazing. The sky stuff, because you get to see a blue sky and you're like, whoa, and the explosions look good.
You're like, holy shit, there's color.
You can see what's going on. I need more of that. The hand-to-hand stuff's just too many cuts.
That's fair.
Dude, I love that flying thing at the end. That's cool shit. It's paced pretty good. It goes by pretty quick. It's a bit slower paced than like, I mean, Guardians is crazy, but that's just because you're laughing for the entire movie.
The scene where Cap is the guy with the minigun is on top of the truck and he has his shield and he's like, oh my god, dude. Suck me off right now. what I would go... Because I saw this in the theater. And the... Sorry, my mom just texted me. And, like, I haven't... You know, to digress real quick. I'm, like, really close with my mom. I wouldn't be, you know... I just have, like, the relationship that you have with your dad, that's like me and my mom.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for my mom. Going back to, like, when I got sober and shit. What was I talking about?
The minigun thing. And...
Oh, yeah. So when I first saw this was, like, before I was like seeing every single Marvel movie like opening night. I had seen the Avengers in theaters and I had seen the first Avenger in theaters and that was it. And I hadn't seen any of the Iron Man movies. I didn't see any of the Iron Man movies until like the first Spider-Man movie came out.
What? That's crazy.
But me and my dad were at the mall, like, waiting for my mom to finish up, like, a hair appointment or something.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, let's just go see a movie. And we went and saw Winter Soldier. It was, like, a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And we went and saw Winter Soldier. And we walked out. And we're just like, holy fuck. Like, this is my dad's favorite Marvel movie.
Nice.
And my dad has seen a lot of them. We got to get my dad back on here for an episode. You loved chit-chatting with my dad. But yeah, this is just like, you know, there are certain movies that just hold sentimental value for me. From just like important times in my life.
We're talking about
this is one of those.
We were talking about those kind of movies the other day, and Chef is that for me.
Yeah, with Jon Favreau.
Yeah, dude, Chef like literally fucking pulled me out of depression, and also reignited my love of cooking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love those kind of, when you find one of those movies, you just keep that shit close. It's the best.
Biggest ones for me that are like super, that hold a special place. Her holds a special place in my heart. That helped me begin to process like my relationship, my ended relationship with an ex of mine. I don't know. Yeah. Captain America Civil War holds a super special place. I remember the first time I saw Civil War, I brought an Arnold Palmer, like an Arizona Arnold Palmer. And I went to pee 4 times during Civil War because I drank the whole
thing. Tragic. That's unfortunate.
And also, have I told you that when Infinity War came out, I saw it 6 times the first week?
What?
I saw Infinity War in the theater 6 times in the first week it was out.
Nice. I respect that.
I saw it like the Thursday night. I went back Friday and saw it again.
Yeah.
I went back Saturday and Sunday. I went twice on Sunday.
I love that, dude. That's good shit.
That was when, like, that was like peak. Infinity War was like peak with my Marvel obsession.
Yeah. We should pause the retrospect and then pick it up in a year once we watch Infinity War.
What do you
make
mean?
The viewers wait.
What do you mean?
I was making a joke because people had to wait a year between Infinity War and Endgame.
Oh, like, yeah. Dude, that wait was so hard.
Yeah.
I remember the morning I woke up to the Endgame trailer. I didn't know. Nobody knew when it was coming out. Nobody knew when it was dropping. And I wake up at like 4 a.m. to a bunch of notifications from my buddy, my old best friend, Levi. He was like, Trey, it's out. It's out. And I sprint downstairs, like sprinting. And my mom's like, what? What? Are you okay? And I'm like, no, it's out. The Endgame trailer, it's here. I watched it like 8 times that day. I was just like, I'm so ready, dude.
I miss that shit so much. Like, I'm hoping we're entering a new era of Marvel.
Honestly, me too. You know, I miss that hype. Marvel really did. Marvel is really something else, you know.
Just saw a tweet. The first Fantastic Four trailer officially releases Tuesday during Good Morning America.
Yes.
Weird way to drop it when the Super Bowl is on Sunday, but sure.
I hope we get to see. Oh, yeah. Is the Super Bowl this Sunday? Like,
it's next week, the 9th, I think.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God.
What's up?
Himesh Patel has been cast in The Odyssey. That's a massive W. He's one of the main characters in Station 11.
I know who Himesh Patel is.
Oh, he's in Tenet.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's such a fat W.
We love Tenet. I ordered my hot sauce an hour ago.
Dude, have you seen that guy's account on Twitter? The I ordered my hot sauce an hour ago?
Yeah, I have.
He tweeted me one time, or he responded to me one time. I was so hyped about it.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the motherfucking galaxy, dude.
So here's the craziest thing about this movie for me. Or what? This is like Sean Gunn's... This is the start of James Gunn's legendary superhero run. Hold on.
Did he do anything before that?
Well, I think Belko Experiment was before this.
That's good.
Belko Experiment is excellent. If you guys haven't watched the Belko Experiment... did he just write... I thought he directed that. Did he just write it?
You wrote it, yeah.
If you guys haven't watched the Belko Experiment, pretty fucking good. Oh, that's the same guy that did Wolf Creek, which you never finished.
I didn't finish it. I gotta get back to it.
James Gunn, Before Guardians, he had done Scooby-Doo 2.
Masterpiece.
Both of the Scooby-Doo movies. Oh, wait. No, those are just his writing. I'm on... Where's his director credits? Before this, he had done Slither, which I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I want to, though.
It's pretty fucking good. It's so weird. And Movie 43. Super. That was all he had done before this for directing.
We got another casting.
For what?
For Odyssey. We got Elliot Page.
Yes, we love Elliot. Have you watched The Umbrella Academy?
No.
Oh, you... Dude.
I know.
Excellent superhero content.
Dude, Beth got mad at me for that one because she had been telling me to watch The Umbrella Academy. And I was like, yeah, Trey told me I should watch The Umbrella Academy. So maybe I'll start it. And she's like, why didn't you fucking watch it when I told you to?
It's really good.
But we got a third casting. The guy who voiced Tars in Interstellar is in it. Bill
Irwin. What's his name? Yeah. Cooper, what are you doing? Docking. Sorry. Just thinking about Interstellar.
No. I'm just thinking about Tenet. Just thinking about Christopher Nolan and his fat cock. Dude.
That's the quote of the day. Sorry. Just thinking about Christopher Nolan and his fat cock.
I totally missed other Christopher Nolan news before we talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, hit it.
So there's a rumor mill coming that he is working on a very small scale film.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I gotta find it.
Well,
okay, here we go.
Oh.
According to Production Weekly, a new Christopher Nolan film titled Die Early, starring Robert Downey Jr., is listed in development, described as a mind-bending thriller with a smaller scale, expected to begin production in 2026.
That sounds cool. Like kind Memento. Of like Memento. Yeah,
I want another one of those.
That's easily Nolan's most well-written film.
Did he write it or did Jonathan write that?
I think he wrote it.
I don't know. Maybe they did. Oh, no. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked talking about the film.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Here's the biggest thing that I want to talk about with this movie. Chris Pratt's transformation. So before this, Chris Pratt was like a funny fat guy. Like, you've seen him. You've watched Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. I love Parks and Rec.
Okay. I just finished a rewatch of that, too.
Nice. Peak ending. Such a good ending.
Dude, the finale of Parks and Rec. Dude, what a just a peak show.
Yeah.
Ron Swanson, man.
We gotta stop. We gotta stop.
Dude, we're doing terrible right now. Chris Pratt. He is like, he's not like in awful shape, but he's chubby in that show. And then there's the shot of him when they first get to the prison.
Yeah.
In this, where he's covered in the orange, and he's like, he's fucking jacked.
Yeah.
Like, what a transformation, man. Gotta respect it.
And then Kumail Nanjiani. Kumail Nanjiani got fucking...
That is an even crazier... Red. We will talk about that when we talk to you about Internals. What the hell happened there, dude?
I remember that Men's Health cover, and he's just in the jeans, no shirt on.
You're like
abs. You're like what the fuck?
Yeah.
Dude, I forgot that this movie opened with the scene of him as a kid, and I got really emotional.
One of the out of the three Guardians movies, I think this has the best soundtrack. That is the big thing that. And like Star-Lord's like Walkman, that's like a huge motif throughout these three movies because it represents like his relationship with his mom and his last connection to Earth, and his music, you know? And I think this is the best soundtrack out of all three.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Twos is pretty goated too.
Yeah. Once upon in the sky, there ain't a cloud in the sky. It's so stopped good. Raining. Everybody. Shout out Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah. It's weird to say it, but like Threes is probably the worst, except for Dog Days Are Over. Needle
Dude,
drop at the end.
I can't listen to that song anymore. It makes me emotional.
I said to Trey, this is gonna be so all over the place, but watching Guardians of the Galaxy 1, 90% of the time I was like, dude, I can't fucking wait to rewatch Guardians of the Galaxy 3, because that's of how perfect it is.
Yeah. So I saw this in the theater.
Same.
And it's one of the reasons that I got so emotional during Guardians 3 is, like, I was just a kid. What year did this come out? 2014. So I would have been...
I think.
I would have been 11 or 12 years old. 10 or 11 years old. God, what? That's not real. No, that checks out. You were probably, like, 14 or 15.
I was 14.
14, and I was like 10 or 11 years old, and then going to see, and I went to see it while one of my sisters had a bridal shower, and me and my dad went and saw this in the theater, and then seeing Guardians 3 with my dad when I'm like 20, 21,
yeah,
and all the stuff that's happened between then,
yeah,
and it's like, oh man, I got so emotional. Because it was like watching my childhood die, and you know, I was just like, this is fucking awful. I don't want to be an adult. But visually, this is one of the best looking Marvel movies. That's one thing that you can always count on James Gunn to deliver, is incredible visuals. This is a beautiful looking movie. There's so many cinematic shots here that I am just in love with. I don't know about you, but this might be the best visually looking Marvel movie. I don't think it's crazy to say that.
I don't think it's crazy, but I have 3 higher.
Yeah.
Just for how weird everything is in that fucking movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And dude, James Gunn writing. That's where he shines. Dude, he is such a good comedic writer. Drax is so good. Drax is usually the funniest one for me.
Yeah.
Nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. You know,
I love Rocket in this movie too.
Rocket's really good.
In everything, but
mm-hmm.
Bradley Cooper, just, he's a great voice actor.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just a really... I don't love Ronan as a villain, though. I think he's kind of a boring villain.
He is a boring villain.
But this is the first movie where we see Josh Brolin as Thanos.
Yeah, I forgot that he was in this, totally.
Me too, dude. Me too.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, just a really solid film all around.
I love the ending, too. Like, the whole dance scene with Ain't No Mountain High. Is it Ain't No Mountain High Enough they're singing? Or no?
Oh, no. The dance scene is, Hoo Child.
Oh, yeah.
Things
yeah, yeah,
are gonna get
that one, yeah.
Yeah. That one.
I love that. Just, and then they do that shit that's like where they all holding hands and it's just like the purple shit flying over. Oh, it looks so great. Color. Mm-hmm. I love color.
Yeah. You said it yourself, bitch. We're the Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Hashtag aura, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's like, it's just a fun ass movie. It's very easy to watch. I love John C. Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't wait to watch 2 and 3. I haven't seen 2 in forever. Like almost 10 years whenever it came out. Let's see. When did 2? Yeah, 2017. That's crazy. What do you have 2 at? Like right now, before a rewatch?
4.5? Let me check. What do you have it at?
I have it at a 3.5, but I've only seen it once, and it was in theater, so I haven't seen it since I got
Letterboxd. I have it at a 4. It's super overhated on.
We skipped over one of the best characters in the MCU. Michael Rooker as fucking Yondu. This man and his whistle fucking arrow. Oh, he's so awesome.
Dude. If when I could have any weapon in the Marvel Universe, it'd be that.
Yeah. Every time you get a scene of him just piecing up like 80 people with this little thing is so entertaining.
Yeah.
And we might be jumping the gun here, but when Sean Gunn, I can't remember what his character's name is, but he gets it in 3. Oh.
Peak, dude.
So hype. Nowhere is so well designed. Whoever decided, like, I haven't read the Guardians comics. Does it look like pretty faithful to the comics?
You know, honestly, that's one big blind spot in comics I have is Guardians.
No, yeah. Nowhere is such a cool ass place. The fucking exploded. It's the Power Stone?
Yes, the purple one is the Power Stone.
Dude, the scene with Benicio del Toro when the girl fucking suicide bombs herself.
Yeah.
And dude, they use purple so well in this movie. That shit looks amazing. And they're all running away in nowhere. Oh, it's banger. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Fucking love that shit. Yeah. Five stars, I think.
Five stars for me as well.
4.5. Could be a 5. Either is fine. But yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us on our episode today. We had a blast. We will see you guys next Friday or next Saturday. I usually get these out on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So we will see you then.